שלום, אנחנו לומדים שיעור
בנושא. We are learning a lesson on the topic of work within reason and above reason. You can watch our lessons at camp.tv. You can also ask questions there. Selected questions related to the topic will be asked during the lesson. A lesson on the topic of work within reason and above reason.
נמשיך מקטע מספר
38 from Baal HaSulam, Shemati 96. What is waste of barn and winery in the work? The purpose of the work is in the literal and the natural, since in this work he no longer has room to fall lower down, since he is already placed on the ground. This is so because he does not need greatness, because for him it is always like a new thing. This means that he always works as though he had just begun working now, and he works in the form of acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason, the basis upon which he built. The order of the work was in the lowest manner, and all of it was above reason. Only one who is a real fool can be so low as to proceed without any basis on which to establish one's faith, literally with no support. Additionally, he accepts this work with great joy, as though he had real knowledge and vision on which to establish the certainty of faith. And to that exact measure of above reason, to that very measure as though he had reason. Hence, if he persists in this path, he can never fall. Rather, he can always be in gladness by believing that he is serving a great king.
We think it's something delusional, unrealistic, that a person doesn't yearn for any kind of greatness, understanding, nothing. But it's really so, on the one hand. On the other hand, we have to understand it as a result of the influence of the light that reforms. That a person begins to keep himself like in the beginning of his path, and he wanted to attain and get something and so forth. Now, it's a different thing. In the second phase of the work, the light begins to work on him and he begins to feel like, I don't need this. I don't want this. I just want to work. And I want to be certain that I'm not going to receive anything. Why? It's the light that influences and a person changes. And he doesn't need anything. Only a minimal awareness, the most minimal there is, that what I'm doing is in the right direction, that it goes into the Creator's benefit. That's it. That it goes there. And I'm willing to stay that way forever and ever. To not receive anything more than this awareness. And even with that awareness, he begins to clean himself from being connected to that awareness as much as possible. So it's not with regards to what he's doing, rather it's only being certain that he's doing it in the right way. Meaning, the only thing it demands is knowing he's working correctly. And that's the reward. That is the reward. It's a result of the light that reforms, which happens. Before that, you have to make efforts, you have to invest. Surely, for us, that's not the goal. In the meantime, we don't understand that as a reward, to not receive anything, to not feel like I want anything, to not long for anything besides bestowing in this very specific way to the account of the Creator, even without Him knowing about me, without that. And I don't need to know about Him, except that I'm doing for Him. The light of chassadim that influences us that way gives us that quality. And then we begin to understand what it means to have the true quality of bestowal. So let's describe to ourselves, what does it mean, the true quality of bestowal? To some extent, you can either talk everyone at once, or do it in order. Think you can do it both ways. I'll tell you why I want you to speak together in a way that no one hears the other that much, because it makes you be used to talk to yourself during the day as well, that other than this time, you get used to being with your thoughts, in a dialogue with yourself, etc. But whatever happens, however you do it, you remember the question? No. How can we describe to ourselves the result within us of the light that reforms?
We come out totally clean, without anything, no desire, no demand for any results, any reward, to be happy, to have fun. I'm just happy to work. I enjoy the work. With some awareness, as Rav said. But I know that I don't need anything to work. Certainly not something corporeal.
We become loyal, industrious, dedicated servants, and use every opportunity we have to do the work of the Creator, the work of connection, the work for the broad public, whatever it is.
And the only thing that we ask is to know that He's doing the right effort, the right work. Even that is not a condition for the work. It's just He's not looking for any reward, any results.
Where will I gain strength to work if the reward is not to receive anything? Then probably I'll have new vessels that will long for being like the upper force and not looking for self-fulfillment.
That our direction and inclination in the work will be less for ourselves, to serve ourselves, to tend to ourselves, and more to bring contentment to the Creator.
Bringing contentment to the Creator, it's not a simple thing. How do we define that form of request, which is far from what we know, what we did so far? Because you know that when you work, you ask for something specific, and here you're asking for the form that you don't know, that you are asking for this equivalence, that you're working, some signal that you're working in the right way with the friends for Him.
that is constantly working for the friends, for the created beings. He thinks about it, he is impressed by it, he does all kinds of actions for it, and doesn't understand or know or see results of what he does. He just has the strength to constantly bring the creatures closer to the Creator.
We're in this kind of neutral state where we work, we're willing to work joyfully and happily for the Creator, for the goal, for the group. I put all myself into it, and I don't, I'm not in a place where I look for something in exchange. Rather, the light that reforms puts me in such a state where I know how to work without that feeling that I need to know what I'm working for. It's being above this demand of the reason to understand, to know, to see the result of what I'm doing.
That the hoped-for result, reward, the strength to work, it should all be in the friends. So what's important is to ask for them that they will be happy, that they will be able to do the Creator's work, that they'll have everything in corporeality and spirituality, that everything will be okay for them so they can be adhered and in congruence with the Creator every moment.
Actually, this form of the workshop where everyone talks at the same time, everyone's making an effort to find the connection, the contact point between us. And that's the only thing we focus on. It's something that we can grow accustomed to during the day as well. And that's the reward we're looking for, to be always making the effort for towards the connection between us during the day as well.
All right. And it allows us to draw light together on ourselves, which allows us to excerpt number 38 again. Bala Sulam, Shamati 96, what is waste of barn and winery in the work? The purpose of the work is in the literal and the natural, since in this work he no longer has room to fall lower down, since he is already placed on the ground. This is so because he does not need greatness, because for him it is always like a new thing. This means that he always works as though he had just begun working now. And he works in the form of acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. The basis upon which he built the order of the work was in the lowest manner. And all of it was above reason. Only one who is a real fool can be so low as to proceed without any basis on which to establish one's faith, literally with no support. Additionally, he accepts this work with great joy, as though he had had real knowledge and vision on which to establish the certainty of faith. And to that extent, and to that exact measure of above reason, to that very measure as though he had reason. Hence, if he persists in this path, he can never fall. Rather, he can always be in gladness by believing that he is serving a great king.
Jayla.
Questions?
Kadima.
Keta mispar 39, mitoch...
Excerpt number 39. From Rabash, the saboteur was in the flood and was put into death in the work. When one subdues oneself and works above reason, this is called lowliness. When he lowers his reason and says that his reason is worthless, In other words, man's reason dictates that if the Creator gives him all his needs, which the will to receive understands that it deserves, then he can love the Creator. That is, he loves him because he satisfies all his needs. If he did not, he would not be able to lower himself and say that his reason is worthless. Rather, at that time, he would depart from the Creator and say that it is not worthwhile to serve the Creator if he does not grant him his wishes. It follows that this is called proud, since he wants to understand the ways of the Creator. In what is he regarded as good and doing good if the body does not get what it demands? About such a proud person, the Creator says, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode. But if he lowers himself and says, I cannot understand the ways of the Creator, and he says that what his reason dictates is worthless, but he is going above reason, this is called lowliness. And it was about him that the verse, the Lord is high and the low will see, was said. He is rewarded with the Creator bringing him near him. Again. When one subdues oneself and works above reason, this is called lowliness. When he lowers his reason and says that his reason is worthless. In other words, man's reason dictates that if the Creator gives him all his needs, which the will to receive understands that it deserves, then he can love the Creator. That is, he loves him because he satisfies all his needs. If he did not, he would not be able to lower himself and say that his reason is worthless. Rather, at that time, he would depart from the Creator and say that it is not worthwhile to serve the Creator if he does not grant him his wishes. It follows that this is called proud. Since he wants to understand the ways of the Creator, in what is he regarded as good and doing good, if the body does not get what it demands. About such a proud person, the Creator says, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode. But if he lowers himself and says, I cannot understand the ways of the Creator, and he says that what his reason dictates is worthless, but he is going above reason, this is called lowliness. And it was about him that the verse, the Lord is high and the low will see, was said. He is rewarded with the Creator bringing him near him.
How does it happen that the more reason we get, the more we can go above reason? What is above reason, if so? Go ahead.
Maybe we can say that everything he does and sees, he does more for the Creator more than the Creator does for him. If the Creator does anything good for him, all of his labor, he expects something from the Creator and thinks that the Creator still isn't sending him states that are for his benefit. This is, and then it's called above reason that the Creator is good and does good.
Here.
to ask that he will lead us on the path so that we can serve him, even if I don't know exactly what it is and how it works, that he let us do the work in the optimal effort.
The more I feel within reason, more filling from spirituality and vessels of perception, the more I can discover the power of the nature of the will to receive and try to ask for strength to work above it.
Rav, why does the effort we make, why is it called above reason rather than against reason? Why is the effort we're making called above reason and not against reason? What do you think? Why is it so?
Because it all begins with choosing the higher reason. Before reason begins to express its reason, its view, I decide to go with the view of society, with a higher view. And then I place it above my view. I understand my view, I hear it, and I rise above it and go with the view of society and the view of capitalists. Otherwise, I'm working like a dog. The landlord feeds me and pampers me and gives me everything I need, and then I'm attached to him.
Well, this against that is the state that exists, but above is the effort to relate everything to the Creator, to ask for strength from the Creator. We just have to be able to notice the gap, the difference, and ask to relate everything to the Source. It's like a boxing match against the ego where you constantly lose. But if you raise your hands and submit yourself, then surrender, then you get strength from above. That's the right work.
You come to a state where you realize it doesn't serve you anymore. You can't fight it because that's his nature. So on one hand, he discovers his will to receive in a way that the Creator created it. On the other hand, he uses it to achieve dvikut with the Creator. The wars will not help.
I can't go against reason because the reason is always stronger, sneakier, and winning. But I can go according to the reason of the teacher, of the friends, if I have enough importance from them, and I can prefer their reason on top of mine.
There's a difference.
Rav, why by lowness we come to the degree of the Creator? The Creator is high and the lowly one will see. Please.
Maybe low means a place where there's no pride. It contradicts the place where you can discover the upper force.
Only from that place where we as created beings see how much we really don't have the right program, the right answer, and we devote ourselves to the Creator's path, to the connection between us, to what's woven between us as friends. Only from there we can build the new quality, a quality that we have no answer for. We don't know exactly. We're going to the unknown, but we're going with wide open eyes, with faith in the sages, following the road they paved for us and clinging to the sources.
person subjugates himself, submits himself, and says that there is one force running reality, and this is what he wants me to feel, and that's the best thing from which I can develop. And even if it's not good, this is why it's called putting himself under the guidance of the upper force.
Specifically, the lowliness is what unlocks the possibility, because what do you find you make lowly? The eye, the pride, that sense of the knowing person who knows everything. And when you put that out of the equation, and you feel that is lowly, if you're capable of doing that, then you can see the Creator, who is outside or in complete contrast or above that I who knows and understands. And specifically there, you can see and hear the Creator.
The whole concept of the new or new spiritual development is excerpt number 40 from Rabash. The whole Torah is one holy name. Any overcoming in the world is called walking in the work of the Creator. Since each penny joins into a great amount, that is, all the times we overcome accumulate to a certain measure required to become a kli for the reception of the abundance. Overcoming means taking a part of the vessel of reception and adding it to the vessels of bestowal. It is like the masach, screen, which we must put on the ovyut, thickness. It follows that if one has no will to receive, one has nothing on which to place the masach. For this reason, when the evil inclination brings him foreign thoughts, this is the time to take these thoughts and raise them above reason. A person can do this in everything his soul desires. He should not say that now he received rejection from the work. Rather, he should say that from above he was given desires and thoughts to have room to place them into the Kedusha, into holiness.
How do we use thoughts, desires that are good and seemingly bad thoughts and desires? How do we use both in the direction of the work, the goal? Happily and joyfully, and actually we're happier in what appears as a disturbance, as bad, as it says that a person should be thankful for the bad more than for the good, because it advances him to work more if he uses that awakening correctly. How do we use both in the right way to advance towards the goal? Please.
Specifically, when we have these contradicting thoughts against the work, this is the place where we can build a masach. It's the place where we can ask for this reforming light to correct, to rise. In this, we are in a prayer, which is our means to be in dvikut with the Creator.
To use both good and negative disturbances have to be very strongly glued to the goal, so these disturbances don't throw me off the path. And that's possible only if I cling to the friends, if I have the greatness of the friends, and that enables me to advance regardless of what the Creator sends at me.
So it doesn't matter what states We turn how the body feels. We accustom ourselves to invest in the group, to do anything that adds to the connection between us. The place where the Shekhinah can be.
So, when the seemingly more broken things appear, the things that are not clear to me, so just like with the good thing, I'm clear about who sent the bad thing. And when it's a lack of connection and it doesn't sit for me how it works, and specifically there, we can bless for that. It's the place of correction.
How do we attribute good and bad thoughts to the work, and how do we attribute to the work not good thoughts and desires? Please. What is the difference in using in inserting the thoughts and desires from the good side or from the bad side? What's the relation to them, and what's the work with them, with these and with those? To put them both on track toward the goal. Please. Because then it doesn't matter what I receive. I'm only looking at the benefit. So how do we work?
Just like Rav started answering, that it's all with regards to the goal. What benefit for the goal can I create? Turns out that it's all the importance of the Creator, so I can work with both this and that. It's more difficult to work with the good thoughts because they're less bothersome, and you can immerse yourself in them.
I weigh everything with respect to what is correct to equivalence of form with the Creator. This is what decides something. There's a clear gauge. If it's similar and connects to equivalence of form with the Creator, it's the right direction. Something that's correct and good. And if it's the opposite of that, it's also good, because then I have a chance to go above reason. I have a chance to overcome it, to scrutinize, to place the reason very clearly, which I see how opposite it is, and I put it below, and then I see how to go above it.
The sorting should be very, very to the point, and not to go into a loop so much. But good thoughts should inflate the
Almata. Why aren't you speaking? Almata. Maybe I'm wrong. It's as if you're not speaking. The frame froze. Are you speaking or not? Oh, they're speaking in turns, in circles. Okay, all right. I see that in circles they're still not listening to each other, so what's the point of the circle? All right. Let's continue. Excerpt 41 from Shamati number 8. What is the difference between a shade of Kedusha and a shade of Sitra Acha? The shade of Klipa is called another god is sterile and does not bear fruit. In Kedusha, however, it is called under its shadow I delighted to sit, and its fruit was sweet to my palate. In other words, one says that all the concealments and the afflictions one feels are because the Creator has sent him these situations, so he would have a place to work above reason. When one has the strength to say that is, that the Creator causes him all that, it is to one's benefit. This means that through that one can come to work in order to bestow and not for oneself. At that time one comes to realize meaning believes that the Creator enjoys specifically this work, which is built entirely on above reason. It follows that one does not pray to the Creator that the shadows will flee from the world. Rather, he says, I see that the Creator wants me to serve Him in this manner, entirely above reason. Thus, in everything that one does, he says, of course the Creator enjoys this work, so why should I care if I work in a state of concealment of the face? Because He wants to work in order to bestow, meaning that the Creator will enjoy. Again, the shade of Klipa is called another god is sterile and does not bear fruit. In Kedusha, however, it is called under its shadow I delighted to sit, and its fruit was sweet to my palate. In other words, he says that all the concealments and the afflictions he feels are because the Creator has sent him these situations so that he would have a place to work above reason. When one has the strength to say that is, that the Creator causes him all that, it is to one's benefit. This means that through that, he can come to work in order to bestow and not for himself. At that time, he comes to realize, meaning believes that the Creator enjoys specifically this work, which is built entirely on above reason. It follows that one does not pray to the Creator that the shadows will flee from the world. Rather, he says, I see that the Creator wants me to serve Him in this manner, entirely above reason. Thus, in everything one does, he says, of course the Creator enjoys this work. So why should I care if I work in a state of concealment of the face? Because He wants to work in order to bestow, meaning for the Creator to enjoy.
Why is it not possible to advance the person only by showing him the correct things, the truth, the light of Hasadim, which gives him the quality of bestowal, bit by bit, and then a person gradually annuls before the quality of bestowal. He wants to be integrated in bestowal. Why does it need to happen intermittently? One time from the bad side, the other time from the good side. He has to see his darkness, his will to receive, and being despicable and all that, and then a little bit of light, and then another time darkness, and then another time light, once again from the will to receive to the will to bestow. Why does it need to happen that way? And that is throughout the whole path. Why can't he be given a little bit of good and then a bit more and a bit more? And accordingly, he gives a bit more effort each time. Please.
Otherwise, a person would be just beast, bestowing beast, well tamed, chasing the carrot. And now he's building his independence. It's constantly against his nature. And the goal isn't to be inside the skin, but to connect the two parts of creation and thereby become a created being that's similar to the Creator, who understands the whole system and works with it like him.
If he would always add and gain, then it would be like receiving candy, and there would be only natural growth without addition of our own.
Right. There are two forces in nature, and from the two of them we advance. The pulling force and pushing force, you can't only pull a person, you'll have no kelim. We learn that the illumination is the commandments of fear is greater than the commandments of love.
There is the matter of man's choice, that it's not nature forcing him to do something, but it's rather the goal of being connected to the Creator, and these states of good and bad lead him to a choice.
Promoting man is exactly in the opposite quality. If we want to promote him to the opposite quality, of course it'll pinch him, he won't understand. He needs to acquire the opposite quality. He has to do things that are not within his reason, his perception. That's the way of discovering the Creator. To discover a reality that's not in our current attainment, but we want to get there, and we're constantly asking for this signal to lead us correctly.
What was the question? A person needs to attain vessels of bestowal in order to truly be in bestowal. He has to work without fulfillment in the vessels of reception. He needs to work to build the desire for a different quality, and specifically from the attempts and from the feeling that it feels maybe wrong and dry, and then he comes to a request from the Creator that will help him reach the goal, and through the vessels of bestowal, etc.
Calculation is simple. If you're constantly promoted from the good side, you see what's good, and the light works on you, then you're like a beast advancing slowly, only in good, totally within reason. You don't become a creature as a result, because it's supposed to be similar to the Creator. Excerpt 42 from Shamati 83 concerning the right vav and the left vav. It is written, set up a table before me against my enemies. A table means as it is written, and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house and goes. A shulchan, table, is like veshalcha, and sends her, meaning exit from the work. We should interpret that even during the exits from the work, when, meaning in a state of decline, one still has a place to work. This means that when one prevails above reason during the declines and says that the descents too were given to him from above, the enemies are thus cancelled. This is so because the enemies thought that through the declines the person will reach utter lowness and escape the campaign. But in the end, the opposite occurred. The enemies were cancelled. This is the meaning of what is written, the table that is before the Lord. That precisely, in this manner, does he receive the face of the Creator. And this is the meaning of subduing all the judgments, even the greatest judgments, since he assumes the burden of the kingdom of heaven at all times. That is, he always finds a place to work, as it is written that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, there is not a place to hide from you.
How do we find a place to work both in the ascents, where is it, and the descents, where is that? And so we can always repurpose anything for the right progress. Please, how to make it so that there's no stop. It doesn't matter how the states change. We're always in a state where we can redirect them to the same direction, to the same work, to the same attainment. Meaning, it doesn't matter so much for me what the Creator brings me, what kind of ups and downs, but I maintain my path. How do we do it, please?
We have to constantly describe the system being this general motion, like the wheel that I've described. It's like when you push this big stone, sometimes you push it, sometimes you pull it, but you're constantly in motion. You get positive things, it goes into gratitude. If it's negative, it's request. So in this way, you're constantly moving toward the goal through request and gratitude.
Yeah, the effort in connecting it, relating it, doesn't matter if it's good or bad, but rather, who's it coming from? That's where our attention needs to be. And in that, we'll find our need for our vut in a new way, that it has to come together. It has to be a mutual support in this direction.
There has to be a big adhesion to the goal, so that no disturbances will veer me off the path from above or from below. And that's done by exerting for years toward the goal, for the friends, for Rav. These elements allow me to continue on the way.
Here comes in also the matter of arvut between us, which is that a friend in a descent, the group can hold him, and a friend is in an ascent, can harness his state to give strength to the group. And by that we advance together.
Our whole prayer, whatever the situation is to walk around with this prayer.
Kiev, not Vienna, Kiev. Yes. Please, question.
15 minutes ago, you said that under the influence of the light, the power of bestowal, I'm willing to work in such a way that even the Creator will not know that I'm giving him something. And at the same time, we're saying that giving to the friends, it's like giving to the Creator. But to the friends, you work differently. If you give a present, you have to let everyone know. I put a bottle on the table and let everyone know. Why is there a difference in this work?
Because by being thankful for bestowing to the group, we bring more peace. We give a good example to everyone. And even though it's uncomfortable for a person who gives something to the group, not everyone has a desire to be prideful of that. So still, he must. It's a commandment. One who gives a present to his friend must inform him. In that case, it doesn't depend on him. He has to do that. However, with regards to the Creator, there's a different law. To work in modesty. Be modest with the Creator. Meaning that the more you conceal your bestowal to the Creator more and more. Now, it's not like you have something to hide from the Creator. You're in that system with Him, and you can't hide anything. Rather, you need that for yourself. So it's in order to be a bit more successful in building the Tzimtzum Masach Ochozo. This is basically the reason. There are other details here, but it's discussed in many places. What?
With your permission, I'm going to write something. Under his shade, I delighted to sit, and his fruit was sweet to my palate.
Yes.
Can you explain this, and why a person would want to come out?
Specifically because he is in the shade, then he can taste the fruit.
What does he feel, this flavor?
In the returning light, Ochozel, the measure of bestowal, he can't feel it in the measure of reception.
But is it pleasure?
It's the greatest pleasure, 620 times greater, Naran Chai, because in the will to receive, one can only attain a tiny spark.
So why should a person come out of it? He'll just sit and bask in this like a light.
No, in his shade I sat, meaning sitting me refers to katnut. So he sits and enjoys, but enjoys what? Enjoys bestowing.
And there's more of a desire to bestow?
Only yearning for, well, I don't know how we can't explain these things yet. We were not in that. But the more a person tries to make himself lowly in these new vessels of bestowal, accordingly he grows. That's how his vessel grows. It's opposite, you understand?
I just want to understand if there is, you said it's the greatest pleasure in the world or something like that.
I don't want to, no, that's not, we'll begin to understand this incorrectly. It's, everyone should try, you know, sometimes this way, sometimes that way, but everyone should try to describe it to himself. Even though it's false, it's better than me giving you a certain shape and you'll think that's the truth and that's how you need to accept it and that's it. Moscow.
There are several questions about the new format of the workshop. What is the problem to speak to myself during the day? Why do we need to practice it here as well? Because before a person comes to the group, he speaks to himself for years. It doesn't take him anywhere. And a grown-up doesn't need to learn to speak to himself.
What I hear from the other is a word of wisdom. And whether I'm aware of it or not, I either accept it or reject it. I pass it through my inspection system. I agree or disagree. I hear or I don't hear. It undergoes my criticism. However, if I speak to myself, it obligates me to examine myself, to relate to myself, to be a judge to myself, and then I get myself used to always being aware, alert, knowing and understanding and discussing these thoughts that awaken in me. And that's very important for progress. By getting used to doing that in the group, it seems like you can't call it a workshop because we're not being integrating with each other the way you think. Later on, you'll feel how specifically that way you very much integrate with each other when no one can hear what the other is saying. you integrate with each other, and that works. But not through the ear and not through the inspecting system, how everyone listens to what the friend said. But most importantly, for now, externally, is just getting used to speaking to yourself. That's the most healthy thing. More Moscow.
Не молчим, потому что выглядит это достаточно странно. Получается, человеку новенькому особенно нужна будет какая-то подготовка. Мы и так мифы в майке убираем, а тут человек приходит и все одновременно говорят. Выглядит очень странно. Почему не молчать?
It seems very strange. Why shouldn't I be silent, especially if a new person comes and sees everyone mumbling? Why not be silent? Why talk?
Friends, you need to determine once and for all. We are who we are. We have to be proud at who we are. We don't care about what they think on the outside. I have to take it into account somewhat, but not at the expense of breaking something that can advance us to the goal. That's it. I can't explain to the whole world who am I and what am I and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And if they agree and understand, then I can allow myself to make a step forward. And otherwise, I won't do it. And it prevents me to do what I have to do. No. No way. I don't do harm to others. They can think about me whatever they want. What can I do? There's a limit to how much we take the world into consideration. Our inclination to the Creator has to be above all. That others will look at us and think and say, they can think and say. Those who feel in the heart, feel it in the heart, that there's truth here will come. And those who can be drawn after all kinds of forms they think or see fit or not, they shouldn't do it that way. That's how we study. What's the problem? I'll tell you even more. This is basically the habit of prayer, that everyone says what's written, and then there's a great noise in the hall of the prayer, right? Because everyone has to speak to himself and the Creator. That's basically the human. And all the rest are his integrated pieces. And take the world less into consideration. It's not that we don't care. We just do what we have to do. That's it. Next, more from Moscow.
Yeah, if you can explain about virtual participants, virtual groups. Even in Moscow, there's a virtual group that connects with friends who can't be with us during the lesson. What do we do with regard to them?
All of the virtual groups and even individuals follow what we do. They don't have anyone to speak to, they speak to themselves. Rabash said that way many times. What do you need to talk to anyone? You're the most important person, right? So talk to yourself. Talk to the most important person. That's it. What new thing can we say to each other? Rather, everything you tell yourself influences the others. There's an atmosphere called Arvut, and it advances us. And it's all coming from the dialogue at heart. More Moscow? That's it? Good. Now, we are moving to 43. Let's first finish that, And
excerpt 43 from Rabash, what is a cup of blessing must be full in the work. When a person can go with his eyes shut, above reason, and believe in the sages, and go all the way, this is called Ibul, when he has no mouth. Ibul means, as it is written, the level of Malchut, which is the most restricted Katnut possible. This is called Ibul. It comes from the words Evra, anger, and Dinim, judgments. As it is written, and the Lord was impregnated in me for your sake. We should interpret the meaning of anger and judgments. When a person must go with his eyes shut, above reason, the body resists the work. Hence, the fact that a person always has to overcome, this is called anger, wrath, and trouble. Since it is hard work to always overcome and annul before the Upper One, for the Upper One to do with him what the Upper One wants. This is called Ibul, which is the most restricted katnut possible.
Meaning, if we can describe ourselves in the smallest state of having our own demands and desires, we want something great. It's the Creator, the whole of creation, infinity. I want to own the whole system and have it inside of me as if I swallow it all and I understand in detail what's going on and so forth. All of it. And yet, I am in the smallest katnut, meaning I'm willing to annul myself because I am the simple egoist and my ego is preventing me from entering the system, as I said before. So, whatever happens, I'm willing to diminish myself all the way to zero. To zero. And then, in that way, I integrate with the system. And I begin to develop in absorbing the system. I'm now relieved from my ego. I enter the system like a point, like a little point, and I begin to absorb the system, to be inflated by the system as I further and further recognize and understand it. But that system is a system of bestowal, not reception. And so I'm ready for that. More force of bestowal, more ability to come out of myself. And that's the transition we have to do. Getting rid of the bubble of the great will to receive. It's intention, really. And beginning to arrange the absorption of the system of bestowal. Read again.
When a person can go with his eyes shut above reason and believe in faith in our sages and go all the way, this is called Ibu, that he has no mouth. And Ibu means, as it is written, the level of Malchut, which is the most restricted Katnut possible. But it is called Ibu, conception. And it comes from the words Evra, anger, and Dinim, judgment. As it is written, and the Lord was impregnated in me for your sake. We should interpret the meaning of anger and judgments. When a person must go with his eyes shut above reason, the body resists his work. Hence, the fact that a person always has to overcome, this is called anger, wrath, and trouble. Since it is hard work to always overcome and annul before the Upper One, for the Upper One to do with him what the Upper One wants. This is called Ibul, which is the most restricted Katnut possible.
And in all our degrees until the final correction, annulment, 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 zero, 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 all the whole time. So how, by turning ourselves to zero all the time, we actually grow more and more and more in absorbing, swallowing, receiving the system of the entire world, of all of reality. Go ahead. Everyone talks quickly.
Because annulment, annulment, annulment is if we're making more and more room for the light to work on us and to do with us what he wants so we can serve him.
Actually, that's how we feel the system as my own, and we annul the will to receive, which is not what runs the show, this nature that constantly cares for itself, knowing and understanding and all that. We put it aside, and this annulment is what we do because we nullify it, and it enables us to feel and see the system, the great system that opens up before us bit by bit.
First, it looks like it's very different than the development that we have in corporeality, but we can even see the examples in our world. Maybe the more annulled he is, the more he grows and develops. The development in the first years is crazy compared to what's happening later. So it's all annulment. And the more we turn ourselves to nothing, we grow ourselves into preparation to know, to feel, to get to know the system inside of us.
If I want to enter, let's say, into a flock of birds flying together, so I can come with my approach, with my direction, my opinion, I have to annul myself and to flow along with the general motion of everyone else. And we constantly have to make ourselves a greater zero in order to enter a system where there's a different frequency in control.
In that, we actually shrink our tendency to continue to serve ourselves in the will to receive, and we develop a new tendency to acquire the quality of bestowal.
That quality comes from the completion between us, completion with all the states that we are included with, the good and bad, which we see in our old corrupted glasses. It becomes a complete connection.
Everything becomes an opportunity for annulment. And a demand from the Creator to give us the strength to talk to him all day long. Rav, why don't we need to worry about, in any state, except about annulling ourselves, to be an embryo in each and every state? And then, in these states, we'll go in this tendency, we'll go to, you know, Ibur, Nika, Mochin, in all 125 degrees. But ultimately, that our effort is in Ibu only. Always be annulled towards the upper one. And this annulment towards the upper brings us to Ibu and Nikam Mochin, all the Naran Chai, Kachabzon, all the worlds, and more and more and more. We're growing and going up the ladder, but only by caring about annulling ourselves. How does it happen? Please.
The more we annul ourselves, that ego, that nature of ours, which is opposite from the Creator, then we can feel and open up the revelation, the disclosure of the Creator more in each and every degree. And that's it. I want to be like an embryo inside a mother's womb,
the mother, she raises me, develops me, she gives me everything I need to grow properly. And she, I don't want to decide by myself how to grow. And that place where the ego grows and we just keep annulling it, and we are ready to let the Creator grow us, raise us according to His way, so that we will resemble Him. We don't know what it means to resemble Him, but He does.
The annulment is the practical work in the connection of the broken system. It's annulment through knowledge besides Him, good and benevolent. And whatever is revealed, we strengthen one another mutually so we can annul ourselves. Meaning ascribe everything to there's knowledge besides Him. And then all the connections we see, we live in reality, and we live in reality, we connect in one system where there's one force that flows. And just like these synapses that are built between more and more and more neurons, we do more and more peaks, and we weld together everything through this mutual connection, and that's how the volume or the vessel is built where you can reveal the Creator.
This atmosphere that we have to build by talking to ourselves and squeezing our hearts and searching for that place, for that degree, but that we create this field of thoughts that helps each and every one of us. Let's read an excerpt from Shamati 19. What does it mean that the Creator hates the bodies in the work? Everything which is further away from clothing is higher. And a person has an ability to feel in that more abstract place, which is called the complete zero, because there man's hand does not serve. Meaning, the will to receive can hold on only to a place where there's an expansion of light. And before one purifies his vessels not to blemish the light, he's incapable for the light to come to him in a form of expansion in the kelim. Only when a person goes in path of bestowal, meaning in a place where the will to receive is absent, whether in mind or heart, there the light can come in completeness. And the light comes to him as a feeling that he can feel the exaltedness of the upper light. However, when a person has not corrected yet the kelim to be in order to bestow, then when the light comes to expansion, the light has to restrict itself and it does not shine only according to the purity of the kelim. Therefore, then the light seems to be in smallness. Therefore, when the light is abstracted from clothing in the kelim, then the light can shine in clarity, in perfection, without any restriction for the purpose of the lower one. It follows that the importance of the work is precisely when he comes to be a zero, meaning when he sees that he annuls his entire existence and being, and then there is no control to the will to receive, and only then he enters sanctity.
Okay, we're going to the next lesson.
Moving on to the next part.